So we have one more topic before our lunch break. Drafting claims that will be infringed. That's the title. Dale Lazar, Antonin Scalia Law School. Thanks for being here, Dale.
My pleasure.
Appreciate it. And you have a couple extra minutes before the lunch break.
Don't worry, I think I'll use them.
Okay, all right.
Okay, good morning. I guess it's still morning. As Bill mentioned, I'm Dale Lazar. I spent most of my career in law firms, most recently DLA Piper, where I practiced actually with Nick, handling electrical things and computer things, software, that sort of thing. But throughout my career, I have always done a lot of teaching for this organization, but also for George Mason, where I'm an adjunct professor. So, there we go. Okay, good. So the whole point here is to draft claims that'll be infringed. So we might also call those commercially valuable claims. Claims that have a commercial value, claims that people think are easier to license than to avoid, that sort of thing. So that's what we're going to be talking about. And it'll come in a series of points. The first point is to minimize the likelihood of avoiding literal infringement. Literal infringement is what it's all about. There is something called the doctrine of equivalence. There was a time when the doctrine of equivalence was so strong that the prevailing wisdom, but some people thought that you wrote narrower than possible claims with the idea of zipping them through the patent office with minimal prosecution, minimizing estoppels on the way, and then rely on the doctrine of equivalence to expand the claim out to the scope that the applicant really deserved, sort of like the German system. But that is no longer the case. Nowadays, with the doctrine of equivalent in its current state, you've got to grab for the broadest protection that your client deserves. It's a lot of the teaching that I did over the years was with a gentleman by the name of Irving Caton, who founded Patent Resources Group. And his little ditty was DOE is DOA. And that's probably pretty close to the truth. So if we're going to draft the broadest possible claim, how are we going to do it? We're going to figure out what the essence of the invention is, what the key to novelty is over the prior art. And certainly we need to include that in the claim. But then we try to wrap the rest of the invention around that feature in the general most possible terms. When we do that, we try to consider claiming subcombinations. Now, I already had trouble remembering this. Subcombinations have fewer elements. So you take a combination of lots of elements, and then you write a subcombination with less elements. And obviously, the less elements you have, the broader the claim. When you're done, look at each and every word. What's that word doing for you other than narrowing the claim? Try to eliminate unnecessary words. An example of that, let's take a copying machine example. Suppose the essence of your invention, the key to novelty, is having a photosensitive element with a surface of amorphous silicon. Well, so you'd claim a copying machine comprising a photosensitive element, having a surface of amorphous silicon, an optical system. But then, obviously, if you stop there, that's not a copying machine. So then you might add the optical system disposed to create an image of an original on a photosensitive element. You might add a transfer system disposed to transfer the image on the photosensitive element to a sheet. So now we have a copying machine. Or suppose that the key to the invention is that a developer used three rollers to transfer toner.